Well, good afternoon, everyone. Happy Sabbath, and welcome to Sabbath services. Brethren, most of us, at one point or other, have come home, and we've been startled to notice that in our kitchen, in our pantry, this mass, energetic little black insect. Insects teeming all over sugar or honey, jam that we've forgotten to seal. Speedily, these little creatures transport their newfound spoil along a busy column from the sweet substance to a well-concealed hideaway. Ants, you gotta love them, or not. No, they come in several shapes. They come in several colors and sizes. Scientists estimate that there are about 10,000 different species. Imagine that, 10,000 different species of ants. Some bite or sting. Others strip the leaves from trees. Some are just harmless. But one thing characterizes them all. They're always busy, they're always industrious, and they're always active. So King Solomon draws our attention to this point in the book of Proverbs. We'll turn to Proverbs 6, and we're going to read verses 6 through 8. Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 8. It states, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest." Proverbs 6, verse 6 through 8. Brethren, let's take a look today. Let's take a look at Solomon's advice and go to the ant. Today we're going to go to the ant and see what we can learn from this diligent little creature. So I've titled the message today, Lessons from the Ant. Lessons from the Ant. So let's start looking at some different ants. Don't creep out now. The ants to which Solomon referred are the harvester ants. The harvester ants. And they're common in the Palestine and surrounding areas. You know, these ants specifically gather grains. They gather seeds, sort them, and they throw away any useless outside husks. And they store the food in long underground chambers and galleries for winter use. After periods of wet weather, they bring the material out into the sunshine to dry. If the seed starts to sprout or germinate inside the nest, the ants cut off the shoots to prevent further growth. You know, some of these ants actually make a sort of biscuit from the seeds they collect. They put the seeds out into the rain until germination begins. Then they dry the seeds again and chew them into a kind of dough. Into a kind of dough, which they then dry into biscuits. So these ants certainly verify Solomon's statement in Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 8. They store up the food at harvest time, and they use it in the winter. And this is a good example for us to follow in planning ahead. And then in Ephesians 5:16, it says, redeeming the time. So we must use the time wisely. Use the time wisely. You know, each issue of the Good News magazine, which is now the Beyond Today magazine, each Beyond Today broadcast, each sermon that we hear, particularly the sermon-packed week that we experience at the Feast of Tabernacles, It comprises of the spiritual harvest, a sudden abundance of spiritual food. We will follow the example of the harvester ants and diligently gather all the spiritual seeds that we can. Storing this information and the seeds of wisdom, spiritual wisdom, in our minds to use in future times. In future times of trouble and stress also. So now let's look at the dairying and the weaver ants. Two fascinating kinds of ants that typify resourcefulness are the dairying ants, found on every continent except Antarctica, and the weaver or tailor ants of Southeast Asia. The dairying ant lives on sweet juice that's secreted from small insects, particularly aphids and other plant life. You know, in many cases, such ants obtain this juice by stroking the insects with their antenna, in effect, milking the insect. These ants even carry their tiny livestock from one plant to another, to find the best feeding places. Some species even spin silk to make shelters or barns for the smaller insects. Others take them into their nests where they keep them and feed them so that they serve up a continuing supply of juice during the winter. Sounds kind of sick. But weaver or tailor ants form a leaf. They form a leaf house by fastening living tree leaves together with silk threads. The threads are formed by the young ant larva, which can secrete silk. The adults carry the larva in their jaws to move them back and forth like one teeny spools, gluing the leaves together with silky threads. If the leaves are too far apart to start with, a number of the ants will join together and form a chain. They work together, they form a chain, and slowly draw the leaves together to make them ready to use, to make them ready to begin sewing together. You know, believe it or not, various types of ants cultivate gardens. They cultivate gardens in their nest. They put leaves, flower petals, or other plant material in their gardens as fertilizer, and then raise fungi for food. A well-known group of fungus growers are the leafcutter ants and the parasol ants. They're also named because they often are seen in processions, each carrying a piece of green leaf above its head. That's what gives them their name. The ants cut the leaves and carry them back to their nest. At this point, they chew them up into pulp, which they place like compost on their gardens. These ants sow, manure, and even prune and weed their crops, different kinds of fungi, before finally harvesting them. Reasoning humanly, it almost seems like some kinds of ants have evil human nature. And I know that a lot of times we look at ants and we can't see the good in them, but we think they're evil. Well, for instance, there are the slave maker ants, which takes over a nest of the other ants. They kill the ones that oppose them and capture the others as slaves. Kidnapper ants barge into other species' nests or sometimes hide in the walls of their nests and then steal the young ones. Then we have carpenter ants, and I think probably most everybody knows and have seen more of the carpenter ants, especially around this area. But carpenter ants damage people's houses by tunneling They tunnel through the woodwork. Pharaoh's ants and thieves' ants invade houses, restaurants, hospitals, and other buildings, and they eat up the stored food that are stored there. Now we get down to probably one of the most fearsome. The most fearsome of all ants are the driver or legionary ants, which are also known as army ants. Army ants, which live in the tropical areas of Africa and also in America. These ferocious creatures travel in armies of multitudes of multiple thousands and eat almost anything they find. Eat anything they find in their path. For instance, African driver ants have been known to eat a caged leopard all in one night. So they're vicious. When these ants are out on their own, on their move, hardly anything stops them. Not even rivers. Not even a river can stop these ants. When a group reaches the river, scouts are sent out to look for the best place to cross. The best place to cross. Usually a bend in the river where the current moves diagonally across the stream. The ants then wiggle themselves together into a large ball, and they actually roll across the river. Now that's something that I never heard of before. They pull themselves into a large ball and they roll across the river. The current keeps the ball rolling so that each ant is dunked only momentarily. As soon as the ball reaches the other side, the ants unscramble themselves and continue the hunt. They continue the hunt. So can you imagine what would happen if the army ants had to gradually acquire this ability through evolution? Think about that. How many would have died trying to learn how to cross this river? The army ants confront evolutionists with a phenomenon that their theory can't explain. You know, you might say that these army ants leave evolutionists all wet. You know, this was something that God designed. God designed this. As Paul said in Romans 1 and verse 20, Romans 1 and verse 20, it says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Professing atheists are without excuse when they look at these things that God has made, because these creatures clearly show the existence of God. They clearly show the existence of God, even though God is invisible. God equipped the army ants with the instinct to be able to perform this feat right from the very beginning. Job said in Job 12, verses 7 through 9, that, "But now ask the beasts, and they will teach you." And moving on, "The hand of the Lord has done this." So this shows that God has his hand in all things. God did this. The amazing activities of the various types of ants stand as vivid evidence of the marvelous, intricate design and the handiwork of our wonderful Creator God. But Solomon's proverb, as we read earlier in Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 8, also points out some significant spiritual principles that we can learn from these interesting little insects. So we're going to notice again in Proverbs 6, and we're going to look at verse 6. Verse 6, It says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Well, have we ever looked at ourselves? Are we a sluggard at times? Are we a sluggard at times? If so, this instruction applies to us. And indeed, we all tend to lapse into laziness from time to time. It just happens. We're human. Well, the next verses go on to show two ways that we can learn from the ants. Verse 7. Which having no captain, overseer, or ruler. Well, the first thing we need to consider is that the ants are self-starters. The ants are self-starters. They don't have leaders and supervisors constantly directing them. They live in an organized communities called colonies, which are started by queens, but not ruled by these queens in any way. You know, the other members of the colony are males, whose only job is to mate with the young queens and workers. The vast majority of ants are workers, aptly named, because they work hard. They work very hard, and without any leader urging them. Do we need to always have someone on our back pushing us to complete our duties? Or do we, like the ant, have the initiative, resourcefulness to drive and accomplish things that we need to do, things that we do ourselves? Well, spiritually speaking, God has established a system of leadership in His church, and the direction provided by the ministry and ministry's aides, and it aids us all greatly in our spiritual development. I'm not going to turn there, but reference to Ephesians 4 and verse 12. Ephesians 4 and verse 12. It states that for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You know, but God requires us to put out plenty of our own effort too. We're required to do work. We can't qualify for God's kingdom by holding on to our ministers or our mates or anyone else's coattails. This is something that we have to do. We have to do. Philippians 2 and verse 12, Paul tells us, work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. So we have to do this work ourselves. We have to, as it states here, work out our own salvation. We can't rely on anyone else. And then 2 Peter 1 and verse 10, Peter says, be diligent to make your calling and election sure. So we have to do it ourselves, and we have to be diligent at doing it. We can never give up. Do we constantly have to be urged? Do we constantly have to be prodded, beaten, and threatened into spiritual action? Do we feel inspired after hearing ministers speak? You're reading Beyond Today articles? Or hearing Sabbath sermons, only to lapse into the spiritual lethargy immediately afterwards? Or can we be stirred up through the power of God's Spirit working in us to continue the spiritual activity, laboring diligently in our personal prayers and Bible study? You know, if we can't seem to get ourselves going, perhaps we need to seriously consider the lesson that we've learned at the ants. Proverbs 6 and verse 8. Notice, which records how the ant provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. The second lesson that we can learn from the ants is the importance of being conscious of our time. This is something that's very important. We must be conscious of our time. You know, we need to work diligently building up a solid spiritual reserve for future use. We don't know how much longer we've got. We don't know how much longer the church will be here. We know that we are now in a time of lull before a terrible global confrontation, worse than any other, has ever struck mankind. Look at Daniel 12 and verse 1. Daniel 12 and verse 1. Daniel 12 and verse 1 states, "At that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one who is found written in the book." Right now, God's word goes out virtually unhindered. Unhindered. And we can grow spiritually. We can grow spiritually in relative peace and harmony and prosperity. But things will not always be this way. Things will not always be this way. God prophesies a soon coming famine of the word. A soon coming famine of the word. We're going to read Amos 8. Amos 8, verses 11 and 12. Amos 8, verses 11 and 12. It states, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it." Brethren, like the ant, we need to be busily drinking in of God's word. Drinking in of God's word and the way of life. Gathering up spiritual food. Gathering up spiritual food in this time of harvest. And storing up spiritual meat for our sustenance in future times of persecution and trial. Paul gives us the same admonition in Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16. Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." The days are evil. And the days will become even more evil in the future. And we see it coming. We see it happening right now. It's becoming more evil as time goes on. Well, the next three verses of Proverbs 6, after the admonition to go to the ant, graphically show what will happen to the people who are spiritually lazy, spiritual sluggards at the end time. Proverbs 6, verses 9 through 11. Proverbs 6, verses 9 through 11. "How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come to you like a robber, and your need like an armed man." You know, in Christ's parable of the wise and the foolish virgins, mentioned in Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13, we won't read it. We'll just go through some information here. You know, the wise virgins prepared ahead of time, building up and maintaining their supply of oil, the oil of God's Holy Spirit. But the foolish virgins were spiritual sluggards. They all slumbered and slept while they should have been spiritually alert and active. At midnight, they woke up, but it was too late. It was too late. They hadn't prepared. They hadn't prepared for the time of harvest and had no store of spiritual character and strength to draw on. When the bridegroom came and the marriage was ready, they were shut out. They were shut out. A terrible place, a terrible price to pay for a spiritual lethargy. And in Hebrews 2 and verse 3, we're urged not to neglect so great a salvation. We're not to neglect so great a salvation that it's been offered to us. And this salvation has been offered to each and every one of us. One way that we can neglect the magnificent, all-inspiring future that God has in store for us is by sheer spiritual drowsiness and weariness, by failing to give earnest heed to our spiritual progress, by failing to gird up our loins of our minds and really work on building up our spiritual strength. You know, we need to be working hard. We need to be working hard now, really drinking in God's Holy Spirit through regular Bible study, prayer, fasting, and actively following the lead of that Spirit at work in us. We need to be disciplining our minds and establishing spiritual fruitfulness, spiritual depth and power now while there's still time, now while we still have the time. Now is the time, brethren, to be laboring diligently, seeking God with all of our might, with our whole strength and our salvation. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10 states this: whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge of wisdom in the grave where you are going. Brethren, the tiny ant conducts their lives with diligence. They conduct their life with diligence, industriousness, and hard work. And so can we. As we've seen today, we're admonished. We're admonished to study like there's no tomorrow, pray like there's no tomorrow. We have to live like there's no tomorrow. Brethren, go to the ant, study the ant, and be wise.